לחיים לחיים לחיים
לחיים לחיים לחיים לחיים לחיים לחיים לחיים לחיים לחיים We're peaking too early. Mamish, what are you going to say for tomorrow? All right, Chevra, good night of Shabbos, everyone. First of all, tremendous Yashkar Trib Svi for the beautiful spread. Mamish, best ever. It's a good Musr. No, what's the Musr? The Musr is at the end of the day, people are simple. People are simple. Chicken and fries. Okay, Shkach Rabsi, beautiful, beautiful spread. See, who's our sponsor for today? Scott Gordon?
Ezra Scott Gordon. Memory of his friend, Avi Victor Kobins.
Shem Shavan Aliyah.
Thank you.
Beautiful. L'chaim, l'chaim, l'chaim. Shem Shavan Aliyah, Klal Yisrael, Shav Yishuas, Nechomas, Parnosas, and Nefuas. L'chaim. All right, Tabo, since we are continuing tonight, Emir Tzashem, in B'nai Machshava Tova. So I think for many of us, the Rebbe always changes our life, right? Each and every week. That's the truth. No shir. No. Anytime you learn the Piyajatzna, by definition, you never emerge the same person. The person you are at the beginning of the limud is never the same person you are at the end of the limud. And I think last week, the Rebbe, you know, Ramir and I were talking about this on Shabbos already, the Rebbe transformed Shalashuddas. Right, no one could ever experience a Shalashuddas again. And then same way after that, I would describe the enormity of the Shalashuddas experience. But of course, leaving aside the specific example of Shalashuddas, what the Piyajetzin is really helping us to understand was this idea of becoming one with our feelings and embracing our feelings, finding the ability to experience emotion. So I go back to what the Rebbe mentioned in the beginning of Osir Aleph, where the Rebbe said that if you think about it, like emotions are like a deep raging ocean. Like a deep raging ocean. But what happens more often than not in the world of emotions? People don't wade into the water. Instead, kind of, where do they stay? They stay at the shallow end. So what happens when you walk in the shallow end? You know, your feet get a little bit wet, which is very nice. You enjoy it a little bit. But lamaisa, you don't have a fully immersive experience. The Rebbe says, to have a fully immersive experience in the world of emotion, a person has to be willing to experience emotion. So the Rebbe described to us, and he was using Shalashuddas just as an example. Remember, again, Shalashuddas is not the primary topic of what the Rebbe is trying to teach. But he's trying to give an example of an experience where you could stay in the shallow end of the pool, right? You could stay at the shallow end of the experiential pool. And, you know, it's nice, and it's enjoyable, and it's pleasant, right? Or you could venture in. And once you venture in, the Rebbe described what Shalashuddas is, what's actually happening in the celestial sphere, what's happening between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man, and all of that could only be experienced if a person is willing to open up their neshama. And I will say, the whole point that the Rebbe is making over here is, so you ask yourself, and a number of you came over to me, over the course, it was actually very beautiful, over the course of the week asking me about this, which is, so how do I get, like using the Rebbe's example, how do I get from my Shalashuddas to the Piyajetzna's Shalashuddas? Right? How do I get that? So of course, remember, the simple answer is, who said I'm supposed to get there? Right? The Piyajetzna is the Piyajetzna. And obviously his ability to experience certain things is probably fundamentally different than my ability. But on a more global level, how do I get to some degree of what the Piyajetzna is describing? So what would the Piyajetzna, what would our Rebbe answer us? How do we get to from where we are to where he is? How do you do that? You open your heart. It's a willingness to experience emotion. Because what the Piyajetzna has been sensitizing us to, Rebbe Hossein, this is, I just want to tell you, like I've found this incredibly instructive in my life, my personal life, since I learned this piece, where the Piyajetzna has sensitized me, the Rebbe has sensitized me to this idea that even subconsciously, we wall off emotion so frequently, right? I don't want to feel certain things, so I shut it down. I just shut it down. Sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's subconscious. But a lot of times, and again, we do it in different ways, right? Sometimes it's just cognitive dissonance, like I just pretend like there's nothing going on. Sometimes, again, it's sarcasm, it's cynicism, it's humor. People use all different types of tools. But more often than not, I have walled myself off from experiencing certain things. The Piagetsna says, you have to break down the wall. You have to break down the wall. And the person just has to have a willingness to experience the entirety of the emotional dynamic. And then once that happens, then suddenly again a person begins to see the world in a dramatically different way. So I will say, we're continuing tonight with Os Yud Beis, page 30. Page 30, Menei Machshava Tova. So the Rebbe writes as follows. He says, Yadanu. And we're going to see, we'll see how much we have time for tonight. We're going to for sure do Yud Beis. It might be that Yud Gimel is going to happen next week in Yerushalayim. So I'm here, Sasha, everyone's invited. Shir's invited to come. I'm here, Sasha, to follow Saturday Yisrael.
It'll be a live stream.
Right? Yeah, of course, it'll be a live stream. Yeah. What? What time is on the schedule?
It's an hour difference. Live stream might not help.
Yeah, it's going to be just the easiest thing is just block out the day.
Good point.
Just block out the day. At some point on Thursday, we're going to be streaming back the game of Shabbat Tova. Keep your calendar clear. It's not going to be before 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's for sure.
If you really love this, you do it at 3 a.m.
If I really love it at 3, what's at 3 a.m.? Oh, 3 a.m. would be, got it. You know what, it's possible. It's possible, right?
I'm not doing 3 a.m. You could get up and do some this and then do this.
Yeah, thank you for giving me more stuff to do. I appreciate this. It's not enough on my plate, but thank you. Good. You can email to suggestions@suburbanorthodox.org. It never gets checked. All right, everyone, let's go. But no, we're gonna. We can't. This is the kind of limud. The truth is, we're gonna see. It's a little bit ironic. The Piagetsna is gonna talk about, if we get to it today, how often actually a chabur like this has to meet in order for this process to be effective. It's pretty amazing. So good, he writes. So page Os Yud Beis, page 30. So look what the Rebbe writes. Yadanu. Sha'od gamata libcha mistapi. I will say, the other beauty of learning the Piagetsna, and the truth is, this is in a lot of streams of Chassidus, which is Chassidus in general is very embracing and acknowledging and accepting of the actual dynamic of the human condition. Right? It's part of the beauty of Chassidus. I will say, what motivated, let's go back a little bit, right? The founder of Chassidus, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Rebbe of Rebbe, Zechus Yagin Aleinu. What motivated the Baal Shem Tov to create like a whole new derech in Avodas Hashem, a recognition that so much of Yiddishkeit had become dependent upon spiritual excellence, intellectual prowess, the ability to learn. But what about those people who can't learn for a variety of different reasons? What about those people who can't measure up or can't yet reach that bar of excellence? So part of what the Baal Shem Tov created was a stream of consciousness in Yiddishkeit that accepts the limitations and accepts the realities of where man is. Now, again, Chassidus says you have to accept where you are for now, but you can't accept remaining in that place forever. So it's this beautiful dialectic. I accept who I am right in this moment, but that's not who I want to be in a moment from now. So the Piagetsna says, you know, we've been learning this. So again, we're 30 pages in, the Piagetsna says, I've outlined a lot of stuff. But he said, look what he writes. He says, I know there are those among you who are still skeptical. You're still skeptical, right? And you don't believe. It's all beautiful. The imagery is beautiful. The wording is beautiful. But there are those of you, says the Piagetsna, who probably don't believe that a person could actually experience the things that I am describing. Ma'amin, ve'eno ma'amin. You believe, but you don't believe. You believe, but you don't really believe that you have the ability to see the world as kula kadosh, to see the holiness, to see the ruchnius, to see the kedusha in every single thing. I will say, by the way, isn't it validating? Because the truth is, this is going through our mind as we've learned this sefer, right? Trying to figure out, like, I understand what the Piagetsna says. I don't understand what the Piagetsna says. I kind of understand what the Piagetsna says. I can do this. I can't do this. I want a shalashudas like this, but I can't have a shalashudas. So the Piagetsna, it's okay. For most of us, the Piagetsna is introducing a totally dramatically different way of looking at things. So it's going to be understandable if we're a little bit skeptical. And not skeptical that I don't believe it. I believe it. I just don't what? I'm just not sure about what? If I believe it for me. Right? So you know how you have stuff like this? Like, I believe in a lot of things that are objectively true.
Conceptually,
maybe we'll call it even objectively, not subjectively. In other words, I believe there's nothing here at the Piagets in the road that I said, no, that can't be true. That can't be true. No, nothing like that. I believe all of it can be true. I'm not sure all of it could be true for me. So the Rebbe goes on, he says, so remember again, what is the Piagets getting us to? How is he trying to move us? He's trying to move us from being rational beings to being spiritual beings. See, before we started learning the Sefer, I will say, how did we look at the world? Says the Piaget, no? We looked at the world through the lens of our seichel, of our intellect. What is the Piaget trying to teach us to do? To look at the world through the lens of Kedusha. To look at the world through the lens of feeling. To look at the world through the lens of emotion. But really, in essence, to look at the world through the lens of your neshama. Up until this point, I've always looked at the world through the lens of my intellect, which, by the way, is not bad. It's not bad. It's important. We're going to see it's a synergistic partnership. But the goal over here is to begin the process of seeing the world through my neshama. He goes on, neshamos v'shemos ba'amracha. So what happens? Ba'amracha, I'll say to myself, halo olam gufni ani ra ba'alo. Piyajatzna, come on. I really appreciate it. You know, the description of Shalosh Odis last week, right? The chariots and everything. You know what I see when I look at Shalosh Odis? You know what I see? Chavra, what do you see when you look at Shalosh Odis? Egg salad. Right, good. It's going to be one of two, right? Egg salad and two, right? What do I see? What are you talking about? What do I see? I see challah. Again, I see beautiful Jews sitting together, right? I see egg salad, I see tuna, I see challah rolls, right? Whatever. I see whatever was left over from Kiddush, right? You know, whatever. I see what's in front of me. See what's in front of me. He says, mi yochol lahachish es hodas shariyas u'shmias chushni. And a person will say, Rebbe, I want very much to believe you, but Lamaisa, you know, I'm seeing the reality. You're telling me, see, the Piagets are saying you're not seeing reality. You're seeing egg salad and tuna. You think that's reality. That's not reality. You know what the reality is? The reality is that during Shalosh Shudas, the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally, again, racing through your heart, racing through your soul. That the noise of Shamayim is deafening. That's what are you talking about? I'm telling you what I see right in front of me. And I will say, remember again, that's the Seichel. What does the Seichel say? What does Seichel say? Seichel says, what you see is your reality. Or what you think you see and what you think you understand, that's reality. Listen to this. This is so profound. And here, the Rebbe really gets to so much of the essence of what he's trying to drive home. How do you know that what you see is objective truth? You think that because I think that because I see, I mean you, I think that because I see it, I could see it, this is real, this is MS. And if I can't see it, very interesting, you've got my attention, but I'm not sure that I'm hooked on the fact that that's MS. So the Piaget says, well, how do you really know that what you see is truth? That what you see is truth. Look what he writes. He says, Hagam, this is incredible. She'ein anu rotzim lahamik bepil pulim ke'elu. Piaget says, well, if you notice, by the way, this is not a philosophical work. It's really not. So the Rebbe says, I don't really want to get like too much into philosophical discussions. Okay, we're about like 30 pages too late for that. But okay, and he says, Aval kidei lahazis es daitcha. Let's listen to this. He says, what's my goal? My goal, the Lashon over here is so beautiful. Lahazis es daitcha. I want to move your understanding a little bit. Min vadaus ubetichus chushecha shebehem ata boteach v'docha es kol yecholes ria ilah lahabit b'ri'ya biltichushis advar mochshim. So Piaget says, here's what I just want you to believe. Here, Piaget states his goal. He says, interesting teaching methodology, right? The teacher is putting out at the beginning, you know, it's interesting. You would think that this is like teaching 101, but it's interesting. Many times teachers don't tell you what they want to accomplish. Right? So part of being a good teacher is telling your student, right? You want your students to be vested in what it is that you're teaching them. So what's the goal? Right? Or what do you need to do? Why should they listen to you? What are they going to get from listening to you? If you can't outline what they're going to get from listening to you, then why should they listen to you? So the Piagets, let me tell you what I want to do. I just want to move your thinking a little bit, says the Piagets now. Because right now, talking to us, the way we think is what I see is reality. The Piagets says, all I want to be able to do is for you to believe that just because you see it, it may not be the objective reality. That's all. That's all. I just want your mind to be open to that concept, says the Piagets now, that not everything you see, and therefore you think you understand, is MS, is reality. Just I want you to be open to the concept that what you see, yes, I understand, objectively you're seeing it, but it may not be the MS. It may not be objective truth in life. Let's look at his examples over here. He says, L'chein. This is incredible. Hinei nishalach al she'ela pshuta zo. Let me ask you a simple question. That's b'yajatz, no? Ma ze mayim. What is water? What is water? Kilomar, batuach ata, she'bishar she'ata mabit u'memashmish b'mayim, v'etzer amayim ata u'memashmashmish. So remember again, you take water in your hand, right? You take water in your hand. You say, okay, what is it? It's water. It's water. So you ask me, what is water? This is water. This is water. Right? I have it. This is it. Says yet interestingly enough, lo ezat sura mehem bilvad ve'im kain lama maim halalu ba'asam es hapchim l'sheleg l'kfar l'eid. So I don't understand. If this is really water, if this is water, if this is MS, so then how does this turn into snow? How does this turn into rain? How does this turn into aid?
Mist.
Thank you. Mist. Right. Fog. Right. Mist. How, again, if what you see is objective MS, if this is MS, so if this is water, then this is water. That's it. It's MS. But then how do you explain the fact that this could morph into other things? If this is MS, then it's MS. Let's say, he's just trying to use a very simple example just to show us that what? Just because you see something in a certain way does not mean that you've discovered the objective truth about that item in all of its different facets and aspects. He goes on, he says, gives another example. Esakash, straw. His examples are very, very simplistic examples, but he's trying to make a point. Esakash, listen to this. L'mashal govlim, v'nasa zevel. So we'll say, what happens? Take straw. What do you do with straw? What do you do with straw? Okay, come on. No one here has any idea what you do with straw, right? I know, I think my landscaper puts out straw, you know. Is that right? So what do you do with straw? What do you do with straw? You go ahead and you crush it up. You can use it as fertilizer, right? So you take the straw, you crush it up, you use it as fertilizer for the field. Now watch this. So suddenly I take the straw, I go ahead, crush it up, use it as fertilizer, put it in the field, and now what does it allow? What happens? The wheat grows. Zosomeres shenitosva ala tvua. So what happened to the straw? Where did the straw go? Is the straw now part of the wheat? Right, so the straw is gone. Now there's only wheat. It must be, I guess the straw is now part of the wheat. Vazevel mishapich l'tvua. So now again, the compost, the fertilizer, turned into wheat. Va'adam ocheles u'mishapeches l'basar. Then a person eats the wheat. The wheat turns into the flesh, vidam, and the blood of man. Bitsamu ubidimuso. Hainu, shakash, nishapech lezebel, litvua, ulabasra adam. So now straw became wheat, which became flesh, which became blood, which became man. So what's straw? Is straw straw? We'll say, he's just trying to make the point that you look at something and you think you have it all figured out because, hey, I see it. It's water. It's straw. Piagets says, you don't have it figured out. You have it figured out for the 1 second that it's in front of you like that. But this item changes form. This item changes shape. This item changes use. So what he's trying to point out over here, just because you see something in a certain way does not mean that what you see dictates the totality of the MS surrounding that item. He says, Umayim, Umayim Atzmom, Etzem Mayim, Ve'etzem Kash, Etzem Tvua, Etzem Basar, Eich Etzem Echam Ishapech, L'Sheni, L'Shlishi, V'Shuv Chozal Yatzmo. You have things that, again, I will say, change into multiple forms, then change back into the original form. Oh, Aim Afshar Shahar Be'atzim, Nimtsoim Be'etzem Echad, Loze Afshar, Veloze Emes, Hin Charo Echas, I will say, skip a little bit. Skip a little bit. He says, B'Sheker, you see where I'm just skipped two lines. B'Sheker, Yiftochu Shecha Leymar, Esa Olam Anuram Mashmashim. Shabbos say, often we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. And we tell ourselves, we've got everything figured out. I've got it all figured out. I will say, now, why in life, this is an interesting question to ponder. Why in life do we lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that we have everything figured out? Like, we all do it at different times. Why do we do it?
Defends our complacency.
Right? I'm sorry?
Defends our complacency.
Defends our complacency. Good. Beautiful.
I'm in control.
I'm in control. See, the scariest thing for people, for human beings, is a lack of control. Let's say, do you know what is the most common first word for babies? Most common.
Mom.
No.
No. No. Now, I'm sure, like, from a speech therapy perspective, I'm sure it's monosyllabic, no. It's easy. No. No, yeah. Yeah. No is the, right? Why? Why? What's the pshat? On a ruchni level, it's very clear. He'll say, what's no? What's no? No is when you flex your muscles of self-autonomy, right? I'm in control. I'm in control. You're in control? You've got a diaper filled with who knows what, right? You're in control of nothing. You can't take care of anything, but you're going to walk around saying no. And the only thing that changes about us as we get older is our diaper, right? The diaper goes away. It comes back later on, right? Right? But it's a big circle. It's a big circle. But we go through life. We go through life. And the one thing I want more than anything is control. Is control. So I will say, so that's why often in life, we're unwilling to ask for help, even when we need help, because I got this. No, you don't. And we'll say, often I haven't had it under control for years. I got it. You don't have it. You know you don't have it. Everyone around you knows you don't have it, but you're so stuck on having control. You're so stuck on having control that you're just unwilling to acknowledge it. Or how often do people, and we'll say, you see this all the time. We do it for ourselves. Unfortunately, people do it for family members. Where we defend things that are really indefensible. Behaviors, actions, approaches that are objectively bad. Instead of just saying, like, own it and deal with it, I'll defend it. And I'll defend it from here until tomorrow, right? And I'm not going to give up the defense of it in any way. Because I will say, at the end of the day, it's control. It's the one thing I want more than anything in this world, because it's the one thing deep down I know that I don't have. I don't have control, right? All right, I should say, I have control over some things, right? The things usually related directly to me, and really only in the here and now is what I control. But Lamaisa, when I think about life in a panoramic sense, I have very little control. So the Piagetsna says, what's going to happen? Hin charoa, so what's going to happen? So he says, B'sheker, yiftoch hushecha leimar, sa'olam anaram mashashim. So the Yitzhara is going to convince you, to say, No. You've got it all figured out. Right? You see everything for what it is. You have yourself figured out. You have your family figured out. You have everything figured out. No need to worry about anything. You have it all figured out. Why? So that's the Yetzihara. Because the Yetzihara doesn't want, because it will say, the moment that I could admit that I don't have it figured out, and I actually don't know what's flying in life, is the moment that I realize what I see is not MS. And if what I see is not MS, it means I have to learn to open my eyes to try to figure out what is active MS. So the Yetzirah is going to try to convince me to avoid that at whatever cost. He goes on, Etzem kol davar omi be'enav. The Yetzirah tells you, no, what you see is what you get. You've got it all figured out. Chushech alo yagiyo eilav arak ka'arheim mashim begavni advarim shemis arama etzim advarim v'lami yikshalucha lahavin shamekubal ra b'chol davar medivrei olam. And what's going to say? What does the Yetzirah say? Listen, stop trying to be a Makobol, right? Stop trying to be a Kabbalist. You want to start seeing the holiness in everything, the spirituality in everything. Stop it. You're not a Makobol. You're just a regular guy. And as a regular guy, trust what you see, and that's it. And the Piagetsna says, just know, that's the Yetzirah talking. That's your mechanism of self-sabotage trying to derail your process of personalistic growth. He goes on, he says, The Yetzirah says, why would you try to combat your senses? Right? If your senses tell you one thing, then that must be the objective truth. And why are you trying to fight against it? I try to convince myself, no, I see things for what they are. I see myself for who I am. I see life for what it is. I see my friends, my family. I have perfect clarity. I was like, that isn't incredible, by the way? See, everybody thinks that the Yetzirah, that what's the Yetzirah's primary job? What does everyone think? To get me to what? To sin. It's not true. The Yetzirah doesn't need to get me to sin. That's not what has to happen over here. But rather what? What's going on over there? Right? That's not what the Yetzirah doesn't need me to sin. The Yetzirah just has to convince me that I've got it all figured out. Because if the Yetzirah could convince me that I've got it all figured out, and I have 20/20 life vision, I understand everything and everyone. The Yetzirah doesn't have to entice me to engage in one sin. Do you know why? Because believing that you understand everything is the gateway to every sin. Why would the Yetzirah spend time on one sin when he could create a dynamic ultimately that opens the door to every single possible Avera? And incredible. He goes on, he says, in the MS, ein mayim vein kash, ein olam vein kod. So let's say, now skip to the next paragraph. He says, this is incredible. Vine, I'll say this is a really, really beautiful idea. So now look what's going to happen over here. We're actually going to have two worlds collide. The world of being a makubal and a chassid. Now watch this. So the Pesach Nesler writes, he says that when we say that the makubal, right, somebody who's steeped in Kabbalah is able to see the spiritual dimension of the world. It's able to see, right? Let's say, so just on a basic level, right? The Makobol is able to see Shalashudis, right? Like I said, we see egg salad and tuna, and the Makobol is able to see chariots of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all these incredible things happening in this world. So the Piyajetzna says, Kavanosarak al Chosid Makobol. This is incredible. Says the Piyajetzna, no. Being a makubal is never enough. Right? So you just like when you thought we had enough on our plate. Now the Yerzesna said, it's not enough to be a makubal. You have to be a chassid makubal. Only a chassid makubal could really be able to see life for us. And we'll say, now what does that mean to be a chassid makubal? It's actually very beautiful because in Mesilas Yesharim, we just finished chassidus. It's always very beautiful, you know, it's almost like that little kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our different streams of learning converge in one beautiful ocean of spiritual development. Hey, so here we just finished Chassidus in Mesilas Yesharim. Now the Piyajetzna says, it's not enough to be steeped in Jewish mysticism, whatever that means, or more esoteric knowledge. You have to be a Chassid who's then a Makubal. We'll say, what does that mean? This is incredible. V'zeh Achilah. Incredible. HaChassid kishenasa b'machshava Umotzi mikirbo raya ilo or riya ilo zu shira is kala olam nishmas v'ruach. So let's listen to this. See, according to the Piyajetzna, what does it mean to be a chassid? Remember, how did the Ramchal describe chassidus? According to Ramchal, what does it mean to be a chassid? Above and beyond, right? A tzaddik lives up to expectations. A chassid tries to surpass expectations. The Piyajetzna has a little bit of a different, it's the same idea, but a little bit of a different explanation. The Piyajetzna says, the chassid is someone who has stopped living life through the intellect. Not abandoned the intellect, but that he recognizes that his primary consciousness is not rooted in the intellect. His primary consciousness is rooted in the neshama and is rooted in emotion. Because at the end of the day, intellect is very powerful and intellect is very necessary. What's the limiting aspect of intellect? What does intellect allow you to focus on? What's real? Right? We spoke of this already, right? The difference between imagination and intellect, to be a gentle spoken, right? Intellect allows you to see what's real. Even imagination which flows from intellect, right? Right, if you remember, we spoke about this at the beginning of the Sefer. When you have imagination that's rooted in intellect, what can you imagine? Anything that's a derivation of that which is real. So for example, I could imagine a vacation, right? Why? Because a vacation is rooted in my reality of life. I know what it means to work and not to work. So I could imagine what that vacation looks like. I often can't imagine what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, right? Why? Because that's not a function of intellect. So the Piagetan explains over something incredibly amazing. The chassid is someone, not who abandons the intellect, because you can't abandon intellect. Intellect is incredibly important. But the chassid is someone who understands that to see the world as it truly is, you cannot simply use the prism of intellect. Because intellect, once again, only allows you to see what the senses could feel, what the senses could perceive, what I could put my hands on. That's what intellect allows me to do. Anything beyond that, intellect says, if you can't see it, if you can't feel it, if you can't experience it, then what? Then what? Doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. And I will say, the chassid says, what? There's so much more to that which exists in this world than what I could feel. But the chassid could only accomplish that because he chooses not to simply experience the world through the prism of intellect, but rather ultimately, again, through emotion as well.
What you just summarized is Kant. He's saying...
Chas v'sholom, rachmana l'sana lo
aleinu. Summarized as what's wrong.
Right, there are other...
Kant. What, way too deep what, and I've dabbled. The problem with that is that man's reason is limited, and therefore it has to be guided by the Torah. So what we're talking about is not just a mode, I hope, you can correct me or tell me, is not just emotion, but perfected emotion.
So we're not even, you are correct, definitely, in to a certain degree. We're not even up to that yet. Because remember again, right now, what we're still focused on is this transition from intellect to emotion. Because often, again, I will say, and I want to point out, especially again, you know, when you go through a typical yeshiva system, no one is ever learning anything like this. Intellect is king on every single level. It's all about the intellect. So before, that's an excellent term which we're going to talk about, perfected emotion. But even before we get to that, remember again, this is why this piece is so powerful. What did the Piagetza tell us? How did we start out tonight? How did our Rebbe start the shiur tonight? What did the Piagetza say to us? What's his goal? What's his goal for tonight's lesson?
To just move
the needle. Just, Piagetza says, I want you to understand that there is another way to see life. That's all. You're absolutely correct, but you're about 10 steps ahead. So we're going to get there, Mirat Hashem, probably within the next 3 years. You know, at this, we're going to get there. I'm going to get there. I think like another like 17 pans of fried chicken and about 34 shiurim. We're going to be there. We're going to be there. But good. So, but before we even get to that, Piagetza is just saying, can you at least acknowledge? Now you can't say, can we at least acknowledge that there's another way to see life? There's another way. Correct. Now, if we're able to acknowledge it, okay, then ain't a chanami, you're correct. So now, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? And by the way, it's even more like, how do you ensure that emotion doesn't run away with you? Right? How do you ensure that emotion doesn't hijack you the same way that intellect has? Say you're 100, we're going to get to that. I'm sure you're going to say something.
I'm just wondering how this stems with this push for mindfulness that we've had before.
So you're going to see what the Piagetza is going to say. Mindfulness is an emotional experience. He's going to say mindfulness is not an exercise of the intellect. Mindfulness means being emotionally present in the situations in life so as to allow yourself to experience the full range of emotion for any life experience. Now, it's a different definition of mindfulness. That's what I'm saying. The whole thing changes. And that's why what I found fascinating about this piece, I'm very excited about this. I hope I'm conveying that. Let's say, what's incredible about this is, that's why the Rebbe is saying, all I want you to do is just acknowledge that there's another way to see things. That's all. That's all.
It doesn't strike me as a theory. He's not telling you that there's a different way. He's adding to a layer.
It's
just in addition to
correct.
The intellect.
There's the intellect, which tells you reality. And by the way, we all know you can't be divorced from reality, right? Because people are divorced from reality. That's a dangerous way to live. So you have to obviously start. Like, you know, I say it's no different than the way people develop thinking, right? What's the first step? I say, you know, it's interesting, right? Why do children often have such difficulty comprehending sometimes like the world? Why do they have such difficulty comprehending the world? It's a very simple yesod. I'll simplify it. Right? For me, it's simple, which is children are concrete thinkers, right? So concrete thinkers, what happens? There's black, there's white, right? There's good, there's evil. That's it. As we get older, and I will say, by the way, that's intellect, right? There's water, there's, you know, bourbon, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's this, there's that. There's solid, there's this. There's different things in this world. And as we get older, as adults, we recognize that, there is black, there is white. There's a whole ton of gray. And there's a whole bunch of, so we'll say, so whether you realize it or not, that's not as much intellect as much as it is emotional experience. So all the Piagetan is telling us is at the end of the day, just recognize that there's another way to see things. So let's come back to this. I want to finish this tonight in Mirat Hashem. So let's see, listen to this. So the Piagetan says, therefore, if you really want to understand this, it's not just enough to be a mekubal. In other words, the chariots of Hashem racing through Shalosh Lodos is beautiful. But if you really want to understand and appreciate what I'm saying, you have to be a chassid who's a mekubal. And what does it mean to be a chassid who's a mekubal? It's a person who does not allow himself to only see the world through the prism of the intellect, but allows himself to see the world through the prism of emotion as well. As lomeitu es haKabbalah kedei ladas es matzavayin shamus u'shmosein shebaolam bichinosan v'shtal shloseihen kol echad, page 32, kol echad ve'echad lemino. Es nishmos alechem. So we'll say, so then what happens? So here's what's incredible. So we'll say, just to understand, now by the way, we have a whole new mission in life. What's our new mission? We thought the mission was to become B'nai Machshava Tova, to become mindful people. Now I realize my real mission is to become a Chassid Mekubal. Also, can you imagine putting that on a business card? Right? You know, right? Right? Chassid Mekubal. Right? Chassid Mekubal at gmail.com. You know, that's the goal. That's the goal of the Piaget. So what happens? You're a Chassid Mekubal. So the Chassid says, I don't just see the world through my intellect. I see the world through emotion. And then the study of Kabbalah, the study of Chassidus, allows you to unlock all of those hidden realities. So suddenly, when you look at bread, you don't just see bread. And when you look at Chalashudis, you don't just see tuna fish and egg salad. You see all of these different dimensions. But in order to do that, step one is becoming a chassid. Learn to experience the world through the prism of emotion. And then step two is becoming a mekubal, steeping yourself. I don't like to use the word Jewish mysticism because it sounds very commercialized, yeah. Right? I mean more like learning of chassidus. Like what we're learning, I will say, people would call this Jewish mysticism, right? This is the more esoteric bodies of Torah. We learn Daf Yomi, right? Daf Yomi is very concrete. I mean, today we had talking cows, but Lamaisa. Usually it's very concrete, right? And then we have this, and then B'nai Achshava Tova, which is much more esoteric and much more lofty. This is Kabbalah. This is what the Rebbe is describing over here. So I have to become a chassid. And then I become a god. So the chassid allows me to see the world through the prism of emotion. And then the more esoteric bodies of Judaic knowledge allow me to see the deeper hidden dimensions of holiness in each and everything in this world. So the Rebbe goes on, he says, this is incredible. Both say, look at the second line. He says, V'ata yodea, she's so good. Masha'in kein mi, she'eno chassid. They will say, I love this line. So a person who is not a chassid, ish yovesh. Bechushim yeveshim. Person who's not a chassid, Rabbi Osai, is a dry person. A dry person. There's what? We love everyone. We love everyone. There's a lot of kiruv to do in the world. There's a lot of kiruv, right? So listen to this. See, he says, ish yavesh bechushim. I will say, by the way, you see this, you know. I'll tell you something very interesting. I'll just mention something. You know, today, there is such a dramatic proliferation of Torah. Right? we sometimes like don't appreciate what it is that we have in this generation. Right? You could have Torah anywhere, anytime, any language, any platform, right? Whatever you want, you can have it. I'll say with every gift, there's an isayon. There's a challenge. So what's the gift with the proliferation of knowledge? What's the gift? A highly intellectualized Judaism. And you see this. You see this, right? How people relegate the study of Torah to like an intellectual exercise, which has always been a challenge, but I think it's much more now because Torah is much more accessible. And it's dry. How do you know when your Torah is dry? How do you know when your Torah is dry? When after you learn it, it doesn't change you. If you could learn and you're the same person afterwards that you were before it, that's dry. That's dry spirituality. That's dry spirituality. It's nice. Yeah, I'm sure Akash Baruch gives you reward for it because every time you do something good, you get some reward for it. But it's dry. It's dry. It doesn't fundamentally transform who and what you are. If a Yid learns a piece of Torah and you feel the same about yourself after you learned it as before you learned it, there's something missing. There's just something experience. There's something missing from that Torah. I mean, Hashem, nothing missing from the Torah. There's something missing from my experience in learning that Torah. So the Rebbe says, well, let's finish up. He says, if a person's not a chassid, which means, what does it mean a person's not a chassid? If all a person lives, well, say, if you're not a chassid, then what are you? What are you? If you're not a chassid, then how are you living? Through which prism? Intellect. If you're just an intellectual Jew. And by the way, an intellectual Jew doesn't mean you don't observe. Doesn't mean you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. But if all you live life, or if your entire spirituality and your entire religiosity is lived through the prism of the intellect, that's dry. He says, "Ish yavish bechushim yaveshim." Uba, listen to this. Uba lomot kabbalah, azrak erbuvya ustiras mistiros misave bikir. Babo say, "What a line! What a line!" Says the Rebbe. I will say, this happens all the time, right? Where people decide they want to dabble a little bit in Chassidus. Let's leave aside, let's see Kabbalah. Right? They want to dabble a little bit in Chassidus. What happens? You hear it. I hear this all the time. Oh, I started learning this. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what this is. There's a very simple answer to that. Because if you try to delve into Kabbalah, but you're not first a Chassid, right? You try to dive into Kabbalah as an intellectual, as they say, Zelo Oleh. It doesn't work. In fact, says the Piaget, you know what it does? It creates your buvia. I'll say, what's your buvia? I'll tell you about an incredible story about your buvia. There's a winery in Sfas. I'm going to go there, Mirza Hashem. Winery in Sfas called the Abu Hav Winery. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to tell the story now because we have 5 minutes left and we're not going to finish. So I'll say, listen to this. It creates erbuvia. Isn't it incredible? It just creates confusion. Because here, I live my whole life through a prism of the intellect. Now suddenly I'm delving into these esoteric bodies of knowledge that require emotion. But I haven't flexed the emotion muscle. So I don't have that. So all I have is the intellect. I'm diving into the esoteric. And now I'm just totally confused. By the way, not only confused, but I'll say what else? What else? Not just confused, but what else? Totally unfulfilled. Right? In other words, when you try to jump into Chassidus, and all you have is your intellect, not only is it confusing, but it's a fundamentally and profoundly unrewarding experience. A total letdown. You see this all the time. Like, people start to get into chassidus, like, and they expect to feel like a wave, like a tidal wave of energy. Like they hear it, they learn, and like, A, it didn't make any sense, right? B, I feel like I just wasted my time, right? I could have been doing something. Why? But I put it, because I will say there are certain things that you can't approach with the intellect. They fundamentally require the emotion. Let's finish up. He says, So it's actually what we'll do is we'll stop over here for tonight. But again, so just to kind of wrap up what the Piagetna is highlighting for us, which is really incredibly profound. So what the Piagetna is sensitizing us to about says, remember, his stated goal, to open our minds, to move the needle on the way we understand things, and just to recognize that although we think that what we see, this is the world. So first of all, Piagetna shows us, well, what you see is not the world. Because then, if this is real, then the same water that's real right now, how does it become ice? How does it become, what was it?
Not fog.
Mist. Right? How does it become this? How does it go? So either this is real or it's not real. How does the straw become the bread, becomes the flesh, becomes the blood? Which obviously tells you that just because you see something, that doesn't give you the full reality of that experience. Therefore, all the Piagetna is arguing for is to allow ourselves to experience the emotion. But why am I so resistant to experiencing the emotion? Because we'll say to experience the emotion requires what? You have to let go of control. Because the great part about the intellect is I could convince myself that I have control. This is water, this is this, this is this. This goes here, and now there's control. There's control. The moment I stop living solely through the intellect and through emotion, I have to give up a certain level of control. Giving up control is one of the hardest things that we do in life. But says the Piagetna, if we're willing to go ahead and experience the world through emotion, that allows you to become a chassid. After I become a chassid, then I can truly delve into Kabbalah. And then what happens is something absolutely amazing, which is I get to see multiple layers of dynamic experience that I've never seen before in my life through the prism of the intellect. And they're all existing all around me in any given moment when I choose to see the world and I choose to see myself through the prism of emotions. So we'll stop over here for tonight. Incredible, incredible stuff for tonight. The Meretz Hashem will continue next week. Oh, wait till we get to Os Yud Gimel, because next week Os Yud Gimel is even like a different level, as well. The Meretz Hashem. I'll say Shgoyach. Shgoyach. We'll get there on Shabbos.
I'll bring more too.
I take this home anyway.
Is there a shir tonight? No.